You don't believe that music can change your life? I only exist because of music. My folks met singing in a choir together. Music is powerful. Let me read a quote. You've probably heard part of this quote, but I doubt you've heard very often the full quote. Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast, to softened rocks, to bend a knotted oak, by William Congreve, a playwright who lived about 300 years ago. Mr. Congreve was right. Music does have charms. Music does have power. Music changes things. Melody and rhythm and lyrics, harmonies brought together, can speak to the soul, often can speak to the soul in a way that nothing else can. Often some of the very first things that people are able to commit to memory are music. Sometimes some of the very first memories people have, period, are songs that they've been taught. How many of you can remember as a young child singing Twinkle Twinkle? Oh, wow, good. Okay, wow, that one really spoke to people. Yay! Or Jingle Bells, or maybe Jesus Loves Me. And music, somehow or other, can go so deep into the mind and the heart and the soul that even when physical illness robs people of their minds and their memories, music can sometimes be something that lingers on. There was a couple that I knew in my previous appointment. They'd been married for more than 50 years by the time I met them, but sadly, the man in this couple, had been suffering from Alzheimer's for decades. By the time I met him, he did not know his own name. He did not know the name of his beloved. But he had always been a singer. Apparently, he had a beautiful voice when he was a man who was younger and more healthy. And even near the very end of his life, when he remembered nothing, one day as he was sitting there in the nursing home and a Christmas carol started to be played, one that he had sung many times in their little country church, suddenly it all came back to him, the words and the notes. So deep had that music about the love of God that came down at Christmas through Jesus Christ sunk into his heart. I've talked to other clergy people and other people who work with the elderly, and many of us have said, we've seen this. Music can sometimes shape someone that when all other memories are gone, music, and particularly songs about the love of God in Jesus Christ, can still linger on in the heart. Music really is powerful. Now, before I go any farther, I want to acknowledge two things. I know not everyone can enjoy music because not everyone can hear. Some people once could hear and they no longer can, and some people have never known what it's like to hear music. I've experienced some worship services that are in predominantly deaf congregations, and it's interesting. It's kind of almost strange to go to church and never hear any music played because it's so much a part of what we do. But in those contexts, God speaks through people the way they need to be spoken through, and so there's a lot more give and take with the sign language going back and forth, but no songs. And then there are also those of us who may be able to hear the music but cannot make the music with our voices. Now, I'm not talking about someone who doesn't have perfect pitch. We'll come back to that in a minute. The reality is sometimes there are physical limitations. Sometimes things rob people of the ability to be able to sing. And that is sad. That's one of those things that grieves God, just like so many other things grieve God. But it is my hope that for anyone who can either hear music or sing music or at least read the words of songs, that music has been something that at some point in your life has lifted your heart, towards God, because according to Mr. Cash, who, you know, is a pretty good singer, all music comes from God. So, music calling people into relationship with God is not exactly something new. Pretty much, as best we can tell, as long as people have been making music, either with instruments or their voice, or their hands, and as long as people have known about God's love, however far back that goes, people have been using music to try to connect themselves to God. But the tradition, at least some of the words and the traditions of music connecting people to God that we find in the Psalms, those go back more than 3,000 years. The ancient Israelites, with voices, with clapping, with tambourines and stringed instruments, with clashing cymbals and other things like that, were making music to call people into relationship with God. They wanted to praise God, and they wanted to help people connect with God in worship. More than 3,000 years ago, that was going on outside the tabernacle, where sacrifices were made to God. And then it would go on in the area of the temple in Jerusalem, the temples, I should say, since there were three temples in Jerusalem over the centuries. And then, sadly, after the Romans destroyed the last temple in Jerusalem, those same psalms, those same songs continued to be sung in synagogues and churches down to the present day. The psalms and all of the musical arrangements of them connect us with a tradition that people have been using to praise Yahweh, praise God, for more than 3,000 years. And for those of you who know how much I love history, that's kind of amazing. Now, I can't tell you exactly how old these two psalms are. I'm positive they're more than 2,000 years old, probably more than 2,500 years old. But the point is, these are just an example of all these songs that call us to raise our hearts to God, to be in relationship with God. It is verses from the Psalms. In the Scriptures, we hear the last time that Jesus quoted Scripture, it was from one of these psalms, from one of these songs that had been sung about our relationship with God. Music has always been part of what Christians have been doing, and particularly that's true for Methodists. There's a joke: Methodists get to heaven with a hymnal in one hand and a 9x13 baking dish in the other. Actually, that's true of Lutherans too, but really Methodists and Lutherans aren't that far apart sometimes. But in all seriousness, Methodism was born in an era in Great Britain when music was all around. People sang constantly. To sing in the pubs, to sing in the public streets was something that was normal. And it came at a time of a great flowering of music composition within England and Great Britain as a whole. A great time when many kinds of music were being written, when some great composers were writing, and when hymns were being composed in English at a rate they'd never had been before. And you know what? John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was a rather serious fellow. That's putting it mildly. And I've often thought to myself, what did the man do for fun? Well, you know what one of the few things he actually did purely for fun was? Listen to music. That was something that spoke to his soul, and it's one of the few diversions he actually writes about in his writings about how much he loved music. And if you think he loved music, his brother Charles, who was helping him found the Methodist movement, he really loved music. The man wrote thousands, did you hear that? Thousands of hymns in his life, in his career. Hymns about his relationship with God and hymns that he felt inspired to write in the hope that his words and his songs would help others more deeply connect with God, known to us through Jesus Christ. And so Methodists sang. And actually, they used a lot of those familiar songs. They would use the melodies that folks would drink, sing in the pub when they'd had a couple on Friday night and Saturday night, and set songs about the love of Jesus to those, because they wanted to meet people where they are and use the melodies that people had and help them remember. Now, I want to say a couple of things. I want to read to you a few quotes that John Wesley wrote about singing. Because the Wesleys encouraged people to actually sing. Music in church was not meant to be a concert that you consume. It was meant to be something that you're part of. So listen to some of what John Wesley wrote about instructions for singing. If you want to read the whole thing, pull out your hymnals in front of you, and it's in the front of the book, and you can read all of them. I'm just reading a few short quotes. Wesley wrote, "See that you join with the congregation as frequently as you can. Let not a slight degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. If it is a cross to you, take it up, and you will find it a blessing." I love this one. "Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep. But lift up your voice with strength." The guy could be blunt. "Have an eye to God in every word that you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature." All of that 250-year-old language aside, when we sing together, it's not just about, oh, let's make something that someone could record and we can sell some albums. No, when we come together to sing, there's something deeper going on. We are praising God. We are worshiping. We are doing what the Psalms do. We are making a joyful noise to the Lord. And in an interesting way, music brings us together. That traditional four-part harmony of Western music is a good metaphor for how God takes us, not all exactly the same, but harmonizes us together so that we can create something together in love that is greater than the sum of its parts. And in music, we are brought together in a way of unity. It's kind of amazing. You realize when we all sing a song together, we basically are all more or less breathing at the same rhythm? I promise you, we're not all breathing the same rhythm any other time. But when we sing together, literally us taking in the air that we need to live is brought into rhythm as we sing in praise to God. And thank you to my wife for that really interesting insight and what it means to sing praises together. When we sing, we praise. When we sing, we lift each other up. If your voice is not, say, as beautiful as someone else's, don't let that keep you from singing. Participate. You may have noticed I don't exactly have perfect pitch, but I love singing. I feel God's love when I'm singing. When I'm singing Amazing Grace, I do feel grace. When I sing Be Thou My Vision, I am often reminded I need to turn my entire life and put it in God's hands and let the love of Christ guide me in everything I do. Sometimes songs will even let you cry when you need to. When I hear It Is Well With My Soul, that has given me, somehow or other, it's connected with me and given me the tears I needed to cry when some of the people that I've loved have gone on to be with God. Music speaks to us, but it will not speak to us if we do not participate. If we think to ourselves, well, I don't sing. Don't do that. Don't turn your back on this opportunity that God is giving you. I invite you to be part of the choir that God is calling us all to be. But it's not just about the music itself, and it's not even just about worship. Music can also help us learn. Particularly in times past, Sunday school classes each week would start with songs. How many of you went to Sunday school and learned songs and sang them when you were a little kid? I know I did. A lot of hands up. How many of you still remember some of those songs? Before I could read, I knew Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Part of why I love the song All Creatures of Our God and King, and I know that God created the world, is there was a poster of All Creatures of Our God and King on the Sunday school classroom in the music room there in Coomler United Methodist Church circa 1985, and I still remember those words written out. Those words that were written by St. Francis 800 years ago. Music helps us learn. There's a reason that we teach the alphabet song to little kids. It helps them remember the letters better than if we just said, okay, say the alphabet from A to Z. You add that melody, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you all know the song. That will help a child remember their letters much better than just asking them to say all the letters with no melody behind it. Well, you know what? Methodists use songs the same way. Because when John Wesley was going around, a lot of folks couldn't read. They didn't have the opportunity to read. Now, the Methodists were trying to make sure that everyone would learn to read. That's a different sermon. But songs were a way that people could remember some of the truths of God's love, even if they could not read the scriptures. And that continued in the American South during the horrible years of slavery, when slaves were forbidden from reading. It was songs that often could help people remember the stories of faith. And that's continued to be true down to this day in parts of the world where people cannot read. Music is a language, and music gives us the ability to remember things and to let them seep in and shape us in ways that nothing else can. So what's the point of all this? The point of all this is thank you, God, for music. And let us grab on to this gift. Let's let music shape us. As we hear these words that we sing, let the words really soak in. Ponder what they mean. Sometimes people write these words from their deepest experiences of faith. Sometimes the words may be very, very old, but you know what? They can still speak to us. I encourage you to think about how can I use music to truly worship when I come together? And how can I use music to maybe worship privately with God and when I'm on my own? You ever sung a song to Jesus at some point in your life? And beyond that, Let us think about that metaphor. How can we be brought together? How can God bring us together in harmony so that we might grow in faith, that we might grow in our relationship with God and be more able to reach out, to be greater than the sum of our parts, just as the sound of a choir, the sound of an orchestra is greater than the sound of any one violin or any one voice. Find the music that speaks to your heart, whether it's 1,200-year-old Latin chant or the latest hit from one of the contemporary Christian artists. But may you find something that helps your heart sing to God, but also that helps God shape your heart so that you're ready to go teach others about the love of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you for this gift, God. May we sing in harmony and in praise to you, our great composer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.